In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, July 20th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. A Jewish Britain saved by Christians from the Holocaust is saving Christians now from ISIS. 95-year-old Lord George Weidenfeld says he's doing it because he has a debt to repay. Weidenfeld, now a wealthy English baron, was brought to the country in 1938 when he was 19 years old by a rescue operation organized by compassionate Quakers and Plymouth Brethren. Weidenfeld has set a goal of bringing 2,000 Christians facing death from Islamic terrorists in Iraq and Syria and relocating them in Poland. The Weidenfeld Safe Havens Fund has already helped 150 Syrian Christians relocate to Poland and given them support to establish new lives. What an answer to prayer! According to the Express, the United States government declined to participate in the project because it does not help other religious minorities evacuate the war-torn region. Weidenfeld said, "The primary objective is to bring the Christians to safe haven. I cannot save the whole world, but I can do this." Galatians 6:10 says, "Do good unto all men, but especially those of the household of faith." 3 years ago, when American pastor Saeed Abedini was imprisoned in Iran unjustly, he had a dream he would be freed in time to celebrate his daughter's 9th birthday. Little Rebecca turns 9 in a few short months. When the Obama administration announced the nuclear deal with Iran last week, Pastor Saeed's wife, Nagma, expressed her disappointment the deal did not include the release of her husband and 3 other Americans. "Do not give up hope, Rebecca and Nagma. Paul tells us love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things." 1 Corinthians 13:7. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, boasted the nuclear deal made last week will not keep them from continuing their support of the terrorist group Hezbollah, the Syrian government, and other Palestinian resistance groups. He said, "Our policy towards the arrogant U.S. government will not change at all." Seattle, Washington Mayor Ed Murray wants to make it easier for Muslims to buy houses in his city. Sharia law prohibits paying interest on home loans, so Murray is trying to find an interest-free way for them. Excuse me? Chattanooga, Tennessee Marine killer Muhammad Abdulaziz's bearded face is all over the internet, not just as the coward who killed 5 unarmed men in a gun-free zone, but now as a hero and martyr. Jihadists' Twitter feeds spewed praise for the killer and his crime, while social media scrambled to find a way to stop the promotion and recruiting for ISIS. Congressman Mike McCall, Republican from Texas, said, "The threat is real, and it comes from the Internet. This is a new generation of terrorists. This is not Bin Laden in caves with couriers anymore. This is what the new threat of terrorism looks like." Terrorists in Nigeria kept their promises earlier this month to kill more people than normal during Ramadan. At least 64 people died Friday, and an estimated 70 were injured when an elderly woman and a girl about 10 years old, with bombs strapped to them, targeted an open-air prayer ground in the Yobe State capital city of Dimateru. Worshippers had gathered to mark the end of the Ramadan fast. On Thursday, 50 people were killed and 58 injured in 2 explosions in a market in Gombe City. On Friday, a 50-acre brush fire exploded across California Interstate 15 north of San Bernardino, burning 20 cars, 4 homes, and 3,500 acres. Then on Saturday, a second fire burned 125 acres, forcing the evacuation of several hundred campers. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Mexican evangelicals were allowed to return to their hometown in Chiapas after 5 years of exile. Local leaders, who had forced the families out for leaving the traditionalist church, agreed to let them return. But while the 12 families told World Watch Monitor that they're just happy to be back, U.S. officials and Christian persecution groups are ratcheting up the pressure on the Mexican government to better protect religious freedom.
What we have is in small communities, usually very rural communities, usually indigenous peoples, Indian groups, we have cases where a local leader will come out and declare that the village is all one faith. And basically, if you're not a part of that faith, you have to leave. And so if they refuse to comply, the consequences follow. Usually a mob will come and cut off water and electricity to the minority faith. They'll eventually kick their kids out of school and block off access to cemeteries. And that escalates into threats and sometimes violence until the group leaves.
2 Timothy 3:12 reminds us, yes, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Presidential hopeful Donald Trump will not receive a Purple Heart for it, but he definitely shot himself in the foot over the weekend. Speaking about Senator John McCain, he said, quote, he was a war hero because he was captured. I like people who are not captured. A flurry of other presidential hopefuls piled on the Trump fumble, tweeting support for the well-known Vietnam War veteran. McCain was a prisoner of war for 5 years. McCain and Trump have been trading negative comments about one another for several days. James 3:5 reminds us, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. A great forest can be set on fire by a small spark. And that's the worldview on this Monday, July 20th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with us. As we engage the battle for faith, family, and freedom in the bunker in our basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado, Bill Jack likes to refer to it as a bunker. It kind of feels that way a little bit. But, no reflection on our worldview at all, because we actually see that God is making tremendous progress.
I think we can survive a bomb here.
We probably could, yeah. But the kingdom of God is continuing to advance around the world. And in America, we're seeing a setback for freedom, and I think we're going to see freedom get regained some ground. I trust that's going to happen in our generation, or at least in the next generation. But for right now, we're looking at somewhat of a depreciation of freedom in this country. And today, we're going to take a look at the good news and the bad news. The bad news first, then the good news. There's some interesting trends going on in this country, and I personally believe that every battle for freedom is a worthwhile battle. And I've just completed this book on freedom, called The Freedom, The Animated Contest of Liberty. And we look at 1,800 years of freedom. What we see is that there are moments in which you lose your freedom, and tyrants pretty much have their way. And that's what we have seen in this country over the last century or so. But that's not the exclusive story. There's other aspects to it. Islands of freedom have formed in this country and others as well. And I want to refer to that later on in the program. But first, a 20-year assessment of freedoms. And if you take a look at Heritage Foundation's Index of Economic Freedoms, I bought the first index, as far as I know, in 1995, and you see the book here.
That's pretty big.
Available online at that time, because there wasn't very much available online in 1995. But 20 years ago, that would be exactly 20 years ago.
Wow.
20 years ago, America was number 4 on the Index of Economic Freedoms produced by the Heritage Foundation. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Number 4. We were just under Hong Kong, Singapore, and by the way, Hong Kong, Singapore still on the very, very top of the list after all these years. Now, personally, I think there's been somewhat of a drag worldwide in terms of freedom. However, there's some nations like Russia in which perhaps there's a bit more freedom today than there was 25 years ago.
Yeah, even China has a little bit more.
Maybe, yeah, and it seems like it's ebb and flow, so it's a little bit hard to see exactly where it's headed. But what you're seeing with America right now is America has slipped to the 12th place.
Wow.
America has not even made the top 10 as of the last couple of years. And as of 2005, 20 years after the first Index of Economic Freedoms, America has slipped from number 4 to number 12. America is under Australia, Switzerland, Canada, Chile, Estonia, Ireland, Mauritius. Now, Estonia.
Yeah, that was the old part of the old Soviet.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Estonia does better than the United States.
That's not saying much for the United States.
That's pretty sad, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
They've got good pianos.
Yeah. But America, friends, is slipping on the Index of Economic Freedoms. And we know that. We've been reporting on that for the last 15 or 20 years. And, you know, I was pressing this very hard in 1994 when I ran for governor. In 1998, I ran for U.S. Senate. I was really pressing the value of freedom. I believe it's a value. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, you bet it's a value. If you can be free from the unnecessary servitude of men, Paul says, use it rather. You are bought with a price. Be not the service of men. Well, then there's a value. There it is. It's a value. Now, it's not to say we're to engage in bloody revolutions over it. I think there's an option for lower magistrates to involve themselves in interposition. That's a slightly different issue. But whatever the case is, Americans have lost this concept of freedom, and the words freedom and liberty are used less and less according to the Google search terms. So they've looked at the frequency of use of words like liberty and freedom, and you find that it's not used very much these days. Well, education. Let's take a look at education just for a second. Education has slipped because of a lot of different decisions on the part of the Supreme Court, the Palmdale decision, circuit courts. I'm thinking the Brown decision, decisions in which parents have less and less control over what happens in those classrooms with those kids. And all the way to the Supreme Court and the Ninth Circuit, friends, people who have checked their kids into the public schools have lost their freedoms successively over the last 25 years. No question about it. You send your kids to the public schools, you've lost freedoms. Parental freedoms have dissipated. Certainly in the area of the centralization of power in Washington, Common Core has centralized power big time. Think about Goals 2000.
Yeah.
Goals 2000 was a total wreck.
Yes, it was.
Clinton could not pull it off. Hillary could not pull it off.
No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
Again.
Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Common Core is in 46 states today. 46 states have adopted Common Core. And Jeb Bush, who arguably is a front runner for the President of the United States on the Republican ticket, he's in favor of it. He's big time supportive of it. Bobby Jindal was in favor of it at one point. I'm not sure where he is at this point. But whatever the case, friends, hey, a lot of changes. America is far more the tyranny. America is far more centralized in terms of the control of education for 45 million kids around America. 46 states have adopted Common Core thus far. Now let's talk about health care. How are we doing health care-wise?
Not real well.
You know, Medicare and Medicaid collected something like 35-40% of control. State control of medicine through the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s. Something like 40%. They didn't get the majority of it, but they were regulating the living daylights out of it.
Yeah, and even through the VA and things like that.
Oh, yeah, lots and lots of regulation.
Yeah.
Lots of regulation. But now, Obamacare. As sustained by John Roberts in two decisions. Thank you, John.
Healthcare is not doing well.
No. At this point, something like 65 to 80%. About 87% of people selected health insurance plans through healthcare.gov for coverage beginning January 1, 2015 were determined eligible for financial assistance to lower their monthly premiums compared to 80% of enrollees who selected plans over a similar period last year. Okay, so 87%, friends, a larger percentage this year than last year, between 80 and 87% of those signing up for healthcare.gov are on the government dole. Was not the case 3 years ago.
Yeah,
my point.
But then, you know, the government, you know, they can just give out the money because they, wait a minute, they get it from us, don't they?
They do. They do. That's the redistribution of more wealth. Yeah. But the redistribution of more wealth just means more control.
Yeah, and less freedom.
And less freedom. Why? Because what the government funds, the government controls. So, friends, here's the deal. As governments control and monopolize more of health care, do you really think your average parent who has a kid born with Down syndrome has really got a choice as to whether or not he's going to abort that child? Less and less, as government controls more and more of health care. America has become more of the slave state since 1990, big time. In the area of education, in the area of health care, in the area of finances, in the area of economic freedoms and welfare dependencies, I don't have the charts in front of me. I was going to bring them to the show, but then I thought, well, I can't show it to everybody. It will be in my new book, Freedom, The Animating Contest of Liberty, coming out in just about a month. But these charts effectively show you the rise of welfare dependency and food stamps dependency in America, and the rise has been pretty much exponential throughout the Barack Obama administration.
Yeah, Barack Obama was even proud of how high the food stamp program had risen. You know,
he's pretty happy about
millions
it.
And millions more.
But that's because, you know, they kiss the chains that bind them. Tyrants love this stuff. You know, you want to increase the size of government. You want to increase the imposition of government into various areas of life. This is the kind of thing they want to do. Student debt has increased by 300-fold since 1970. Now, explain to the audience what 300-fold is. 300-fold is not 300%. Tell them what 300-fold is. 300-fold is how many percent?
That would be
3,000.
30,000. Yeah. I missed the zero.
Okay, yeah. Well, you
so
know,
did the government.
Maybe you should have gone to college and spent a little more money at it. No, just kidding. Yeah. That 30,000% increase in student debt since 1980. And that's an increase, of course, in government dependency and debt dependency. Christian persecution has increased dramatically. And here's one of the things I wasn't paying much attention to. Think about all of the legal defense organizations that have started up in just the last 25 years. All of them. Pretty much all of them. Here, do you recognize any of these? Alliance Defending Freedom.
Yeah.
You ever heard of them?
Oh, yeah.
Started in 1994.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they'd been around longer.
No. 20 years ago. Friends, you didn't need Alliance Defending Freedom in the 1980s, 1970s, 1960s. Why not? Well, because they need to defend freedom now. That's why. But that's not the only one. Think about the American Center for Law and Justice.
Yeah.
ACLJ. They got their start in 1990.
Jay Sekulow.
Yeah, 1990. That's only 1990. That's 25 years ago. That's nothing. Jay Sekulow, he's in my inbox like every other hour.
Yeah.
What is with that guy?
Yeah.
He's always emailing us. You know, and everything's another tragedy. You know, we're losing cases, apparently. Or at least we're getting more of them. Lots and lots more of these cases. ACLJ, Liberty Counsel, that started in 1989 by Matt Staver. He's still around. He called us yesterday.
Really?
Yeah, Matt Staver called us. Yeah. Liberty Institute, founded in 1997. So that's only, 18 years ago?
Yeah.
And, of course, Kelly Shackelford is the president. He was on the program a couple days ago. We'll be at our Religious Liberties Conference.
All right.
Mark it on your calendar, by the way,
November
6th
and 7th.
That's right. National Legal Foundation, Pacific Justice Institute, Thomas More Law Center, Thomas More Society. How many of these have started? They've all started in the late 80s, 1990s, 97, 94, 93, 91, 98. Friends, we're looking at Christian persecution just burgeoning. Think about the $20 million going to ACLJ. I don't know how much. $8 million going here, $5 million going there. I'm looking at this summary from a secular news source. I'm guessing somewhere around $60 to $100 million a year is flowing out of these, you know, little grandma and grandpa's writing $20 checks to ACLJ every other week or month, and they're trying to pull together $100 million to defend Christians because they're being persecuted in this country.
Yeah, even some of the other ministries like Focus on the Family and some of the other organizations, NRA, they have their own legislative branches because of the loss of freedom.
All right, friends, freedom's going away. Anybody like freedom? It's been going away in a lot of ways. Talking about Christian persecution, talking about the rise in government control of education, healthcare, welfare dependency on the rise. And think about the presidential orders, the executive orders. I think we're turning the presidency more and more into a unilateral banana republic dictatorship. Seems to me. I don't know what a banana republic dictatorship looks like. But I think it's where the president or the dictator or the banana guy, makes all the decisions, calls all the shots, right?
Pretty much anything he
Pretty
wants.
Pretty much ignores the Congress. Well, you know, did you know Ronald Reagan issued 6 executive orders? I think Jimmy Carter had 6 or 8 or 10 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, George H.W., 166. Okay. Bill Clinton, 364. That's going bananas.
Yeah.
Okay, George W. Bush shaves it down to 291 and Barack Obama over 200. Now, people have given Barack Obama a bad name for his generous use of the executive orders. And I'm going to say, you know what? It's been a Republican, Democrat, you name it. I tend to like to point my finger at both parties.
Yeah, they've both done it.
Yeah. They have.
Yeah. And George, H.W. Bush did it even more than Barack Obama.
Yeah, he did. And, it could be Obama will top the George W. Bush record.
He's still got a couple
we'll
of
see. And Bill Clinton did 364. Ted Cruz recently said this of the president, of all the troubling aspects of the Obama presidency, none is more dangerous than the president's persistent pattern of lawlessness. His willingness to disregard the written law and instead enforce his own policies via executive fiat. The president's taste for unilateral action to circumvent Congress should concern every citizen. You know, there's cases before Congress where they're trying to get the administration to follow through on congressional law, and now they're subpoenaing them into court trials and trying to bring them in, and they're having a hard time getting them into the courtroom anymore. So anyway, the point is that it's been very, very difficult to get the president to understand the Constitution of the United States, and the balance of powers may be disappearing. Who knows? Also, consider the state of our freedoms set against the backdrop of government surveillance, militarized police, SWAT team raids, asset forfeitures, eminent domain, overcriminalization, armed surveillance drones, whole body scanners, stop and frisk searches. You relate to any of this?
Yeah.
Did not exist 20 years ago. I want you to think back about taking an airline trip back in 1994.
Yeah, pre-9/11.
Didn't happen. Okay, friends, we've been losing our freedoms wholesale in the last 20 years. Wow, it's kind of nice to get a thermometer into the water and kind of catch a temp for the frogs.
Yeah.
But there's good news. We'll be back in just a moment, friends. There's some amazing stuff going on. God is preserving our freedoms in some of the most amazing ways. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future, hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, fighting for a little freedom in the 21st century. And freedom's important. Freedom's a value. Now, again, there are other things more important. We understand that. There's freedom from sin. That's the fundamental issue. Friends, if there's not freedom from sin in any society, forget about freedom from big government tyranny. That ain't going to happen. That's why it's important for the gospel to be preached and regeneration to happen. We got to see that the biggest enemy in our lives is the sin of lust and pride and the violation of God's laws. And we come to Jesus Christ for that release from the prison house of our sins. And when we begin to see that release from the power of sin in our lives, friends, you're going to see men who can self-govern themselves, family govern themselves, and power begins to fall back downhill, and we begin to see a dissipation of tyranny in our civil situation. So anyway, that's what we read in Scripture. That's what we see in history. And here's some good news. There's actually some good news. We've been losing our freedoms over the last 20 years, but... And by the way, there's two areas in which we've regained some things, and I came up with this idea from an HSLDA court report on the last 10 years of homeschool freedoms by Jim Mason. A great article. Just came out yesterday, and I'm excited about this article because I think it gives us some real positive news at a time when, oh man, or Brigfell, oh man, Obamacare. How come they all begin with O?
Yeah.
okay.
Well, oh man.
The good news is we are seeing some increase, some improvement of the area of liberty and freedoms with guns and home education.
Those two go together.
They do. And I'll tell you how. Number one, well, there's the Second Amendment and the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. The First Amendment being our right to maintain our own religious faith. And our number two is the right to bear arms. And those two are important. Important for two reasons. One is the first refers to the protection of our spiritual condition and the spiritual condition of our home, our family, our children, and our churches. And that's really important to me. But secondly, the protection of life.
Yeah.
The guns are there to protect life. And I think there's a lot of fathers out there that would want to protect their children, their families, spiritually and physically. What do you think? Are you that way? Would you want to protect the lives of your family?
To the death of myself.
Yeah,
I would.
You would. So here we have a blessing. This is a blessing. You know, gun rights have improved. Just last year, Texas approved for the first time in 120 years or something like this, open carry.
Yeah, which is interesting because Colorado is an open carry state.
Yeah.
And Texas wasn't. I was really surprised about that. I didn't know that.
Well, it turns out the right to carry laws are unrestricted in about six states and shall issue in about 40 states right now. Okay, so it's unrestricted open carry in six states. You don't need a permit. There's a shall issue in about 40 states. So if you do this, they shall issue.
Yeah,
so
Colorado's one of those.
So they got the shall issue in 40 states. They have unrestricted right to carry in six states. But in 1990, almost all of the states were may issue or no issue.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
In just 20 years. Can you believe it? In 20 years, we moved from every state may issue, no issue, to six states unrestricted, and 40 states shall issue. Now, the same thing for concealed carry laws. Basically, it's the same thing. Concealed carry, right to carry, about the same. Now, when it comes to guns, there's good news and bad news. The good news is they're accessible, and you can defend your family if you feel the need to do so. Okay, now, again, I highly recommend you do so in a biblical way. We've talked about that on other programs. So, you know, check it out. The scriptures, Exodus chapter 21, speaks of when someone breaks into your house, under what conditions can you defend your house and home? The Bible actually bears that out. It's, hey, all scripture given to help the man of God, to equip him for every good work, including defending his family. Okay, but here's the bad news. It turns out gun ownership is at an all-time low. Back in the 1970s, about half of all American households owned at least one gun. That's down to 31%.
Wow.
So in other words, there's less people taking advantage of it.
Yeah, well, gun ownership has been vilified so much.
And I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But gun rights have improved in the last 25 years. So isn't that interesting? Now, there's one more thing, and that is, of course, home education. And I refer to Jim Mason's article in the HSLDA court report. God bless Homeschool Legal Defense Association for what they've been doing to defend homeschooling rights and fighting those good fights. Chris Klicka was in the middle of it for about 25 years. He passed away just a few years ago, but God bless the work that he did. And friends, this is an amazing story. There are some miraculous things that happened. You'll read about it in Chris Klicka's book, Homeschool Heroes. But here's some good news. There's a lot of good news with home education. It's growing like crazy. It's growing, not like gun ownership. Gun ownership's falling. Home education is growing and growing and growing. Home education is pretty much nothing but good news. And the Gen 2 survey found that 92% of those homeschooled were very impressed or at least accepted their home education background. Only 8% were opposed to it, so we have about 92% excited rate about home education. 82% will homeschool their own kids, according to the survey. So really good news. It looks to us like we're going to see 10 million, according to our numbers, just taking the growth rates up to this point and adding in the second generation. Over the next 15 years, we're looking at this 2.5 million growing to 10 million in just the next 15 years. Please put on your seatbelt and hang on for dear life. This thing is not going away.
Yeah, I was talking to Mike Winther the other day, and we were talking about what percentage does it take to change a nation? He said, do you realize that the Bolsheviks, what their percentage of the Bolsheviks were to the population of Russia was like 1/100%, and they took over Russia.
Yeah.
We have more than that right now within the homeschool community.
Yeah. And growing. And African-American homeschoolers were 4% of the movement 4 years ago, now 8%. That's something.
Yeah, doubling.
They doubled. Yeah, incredible. And recently we talked a little bit about their performance.
Yeah.
They're doing unbelievable.
Way high.
Way high. They're doing better than kids in the public schools by a long shot. I think a 40% improvement on reading. It's incredible. I don't know if they've ever seen such an improvement on a mode of education for any cultural group ever in the history of mankind than what's happened to the African-Americans who actually homeschool their kids. Praise the Lord for that. Mm-hmm. And here's one more thing. Hispanics were 9.8% of the movement back 4 years ago, now 15%.
Wow, so you know, getting close to double. It's
fantastic.
75% in it.
Fantastic. And then I could go state by state. I really wish I had the time to do this, but I don't. Alabama, law improved to recognize home programs of private and church schools. Arkansas, law improved by amending definition of homeschool as 2007. California, major victory in Jonathan versus the Superior Court. On and on it goes. There was improvement in Georgia. in 2013. In Idaho, the law was rewritten to better protect parents' right to homeschool in 2009. Iowa, 2013, less red tape. Maine, 2013, homeschoolers now better access to other classes and sports. Minnesota improved homeschool law, reduced the amount of paperwork, and on Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, North Dakota, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all within the last 10 years. We're talking 2005, 2006, 2013, 2014, 2011, 2012. Man, this is good news, man. Apparently, God's still protecting home education and the right for parents to obey Deuteronomy 6:7 and Ephesians 6:4 in their homes all across the fruited plains. This is exciting. While we're seeing the rest of the nation languishing when it comes to liberty, economic liberties, medical freedoms, education freedoms, home education becomes an island of freedom. And by the way, we're going to bring this out at the Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, on November 6th and 7th. You like freedom? We're going to talk about this vision. Hey, God is good. Life is good for us. God gives us the ability to do the basics. We can raise our family, go to church, listen to sermons, read the Bible every day for our families. Yeah, the abridgment of freedom is going to affect some, but so far it's protecting home education, protecting those who want to protect their own families and stand in the gap against the spiritual forces that would erode our families. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her.
Amen.
And that right early. And that feel good?
That's
what God's doing, friends. His hand is on us. He's protecting us. And yes, the nations rage. The kingdoms are moved. He utters his voice. The earth melts. God's in control here. He's going to go before us. That still leaves us the battles. And HSLDA and others have fought well. And we're still going to have to fight hard in some of these areas, especially in the area of religious persecution. That's why the Freedom Conference coming up, friends, November 6th and 7th. Early registration cuts out July 31st. So I encourage you to register at our Freedom Conference, talking about the legacy of 800 years of freedom and the challenges that will lie before us in the next 20 to 30 years for our own children and grandchildren. How are we going to take up this great legacy and do well with it, maintaining a heritage of liberty in this country in the years to come? God has given us success this far. Can we break through and establish more in the decades to come? I think so. Come to the Religious Liberties Conference, November 6th and 7th in Des Moines, Iowa. Freedom2015.org to register now. That's freedom2015.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.